Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is written, they then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. It is written, with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. It is written, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. It is written, he that endureth unto the end the same shall be saved. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I heard two soldiers talking as they came down the hill, the somber hill of Calvary, bleak and black and still. And one said, the night is late, these thieves take long to die. And one said, I am sore afraid, and yet I know not why. I heard two women weeping as down the hill they came. And one was like a broken rose, and one was like a flame. One said, men shall rue this deed their hands have done. And one said only through her tears, my son, my son, my son. I heard two angels singing ere yet the dawn was bright, and they were clad in shining robes, robes and crowns of light. And one sang, death is vanquished. And one in golden voice sang, love hath conquered, conquered all, O heaven and earth, rejoice!
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 10 resurrections of the New Testament. The first one is the raising of the widow of Nain's son. And it came to pass afterwards that he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples went with him, and a great multitude. And as he drew near to the city, they carried out one that was dead, the only son of his mother. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said, "Weep not." He touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. Jesus told the woman to weep not. It may seem a strange thing to say at a funeral to a woman who's lost an only son. What else could she do but weep? He no doubt was her sole support. I went to a visitation one time of an acquaintance who had died, and the widow was weeping copious tears. Since the deceased was not a Christian, and neither was she, I think she had good reason to weep. Not only to weep, but to wail also, and the gnashing of teeth would have been in perfect order. Another acquaintance was there, and he, being somewhat drunk, advised the widow to not weep. He told her, "Don't cry. Laugh. See," he said, I'm laughing myself." He looked at the corpse and laughed loudly. It was quite a spectacle. It wasn't long until after the funeral was over until he moved in with the aforesaid widow, and they were sacked up together. No wonder he was laughing. When Jesus told the widow to weep not, he did not mean that she was to laugh. Paul says later on that we sorrow not as the rest who have no hope. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he sat up and began to speak. Jesus gave him to his mother. His ministry would not be in the foreign field of service or to follow as the apostles, but rather to go home with his mother. That was his ministry. That is why the Lord raised him up. Our service to God is not always in the more obvious ways of preaching, singing, teaching, but doing the everyday mundane affairs of life. He was raised up to take care of his mother. Now, resurrection number two. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. His daughter had died, and he came to Jesus for help. "Lay thy hand upon her," he said, "and she shall live." Jesus arose and followed him, and so did the disciples. When they arrived on the scene, the daughter was dead, and the mourners were there doing their sad work. When Jesus said, "She is not dead, but sleepeth," they laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn. So, Christian, don't feel embarrassed when the world ridicules you for your faith, because you are in good company. They laughed at the Lord. Jesus entered in, took her by the hand, and told her to arise. She did. When Luke told this story, he said it happened right after the return from the other side of the lake, where he had cast the demons out of Legion. When he came back to Capernaum, Luke says they were waiting for him. Now that is descriptive of what the Christian is doing right now. What are we doing? We are waiting for Jesus to return. In the first chapter of Revelation, John spoke of the second coming of Jesus and said, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Yea, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him, even so. Amen." In the last chapter of Revelation, when the Lord said, "I come quickly," John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Twice John said, "Even so," once in the first chapter and once in the last chapter of Revelation. Paul said Jesus would come a second time apart from sin, unto them who look for him unto salvation. And Peter said, "We should earnestly look for and desire the coming of that day." So that is what we as Christians are doing right now. We are waiting for Jesus to return and raise the righteous dead, and take the saints who are alive with him to glory. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. Now the resurrection, number 3, of Lazarus. At the resurrection of Lazarus, they had a minor problem. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said, "Don't roll away the stone, because he's been dead for 4 days, and by this time he stinketh." The stone rollers waited until they saw what the outcome of this remark would have on the Lord. The Lord said, "Roll away the stone." Then they rolled away the stone. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." he came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. When a person is raised from the dead, the grave clothes must be put off. When we are raised up from the grave, the watery grave of baptism, we need to put off the grave clothes. I baptized a man one time, and as he was dressing after the baptism, he handed me a package and said, Here's a present for you. I didn't know what it was. I didn't expect any present, didn't want any, didn't deserve any, but opened the package anyway, and it was a fancy cigarette case and lighter. He said, I won't be needing that anymore. He was putting off the grave clothes. Later on, his wife said he started smoking again, so I guess he put the grave clothes back on again. Later on, he took them off again for good. Sometimes it takes a little while to get rid of all those stinking garments you wore when you were dead in trespasses and sins. Many of us put them on once in a while for special occasions. We need to get rid of them for good. If one wonders what technique the Lord used to raise the dead, how did he do it? It was very simple. All the Lord did was to say, Lazarus, come forth. He just spoke the word. And that's the way he will raise the dead at our resurrection. He will just speak the word, and the dead will be raised. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. Now for the fourth one, the wholesale resurrection after Jesus died on the cross. In the story of the crucifixion by Matthew, he says that the rocks were rent, and many bodies of the saints were raised up and entered into the holy city after the resurrection and appeared unto many. This is one of the most staggering miracles of the whole Bible, and yet we hear so little of it. I heard a preacher one time preach on this subject for 4 solid hours. I don't remember what he said, and I don't know that what he said was worth remembering, but we can't help but wonder why we don't hear more about it in sermon and song, that resurrection of all those people when Jesus died. Perhaps the reason is because it happened in such close proximity to the cross. As great a miracle as it was dwarfed into insignificance by the crucifixion. It stands like a sapling under the bough of a mighty oak tree. The cross overshadows everything. That's why the Christian never absents himself from the house of God at the Lord's Supper. Other things that are important in themselves and stand high in our estimation are reduced to insignificance by the cross of Jesus. That's why you will find that millions of Christians will miss the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday if it interferes with the Lord's Supper. Because as great as that activity might be, it's absolutely nothing compared to the Lord's Supper. The cross towers above all. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. Now for the fifth one, the raising of Dorcas. Dorcas was a resurrection under the ministry of the Apostle Peter. In the 9th chapter of Acts, it says she fell sick and she died. It appears she may have died in the prime of life. At least we might guess that, and that it wasn't from old age, because she fell sick and died. Some disease laid her low. Peter was sent for, and he came and administered the resurrection chores. Since resurrections in the Bible come few and far between, we might surmise, just who was this woman? She must have been somebody very important. Was she an elder of the church at Joppa? No, she wasn't, because churches of Christ in the New Testament did not have lady elders. Was she a preacher of the church of Christ at Joppa? No, because the churches of Christ in the New Testament did not have lady preachers. Actually, there was one that did, the church at Thyatira. They had a lady preacher, and the Lord called her Jezebel. Who was this woman that was so important that she is listed among the ten resurrections of the New Testament? What did she do? All we are told is that she was a woman who was full of good works. She made coats and garments. She was a seamstress, and she supplied a needed service. We sometimes think of the servants of the Lord as being preachers, missionaries, editors, teachers, and such like, but the Lord is just as much concerned about those who serve in the inconspicuous ways. It might be well to note in passing that the record says that she was full of good works. It does not say she was full of booze or full of nicotine or full of drugs. She was full of good works, and they wept and showed the coats and garments Dorcas made while she was with them. Ladies and gentlemen, when you kick off from this life, will there be anything to show? Will the saints be shown the report of the treasurer, and will they say, look at this, look at what sacrificial giver that person was, 100 here, 1,000 there? We surely do miss him. Not many give that way. Will they look at the attendance record and say, that guy never missed. Look at this. He was even present on Super Bowl Sunday. What dedication. Well, that in itself will be worth 10 extra stars in anybody's crown. Will there be anything to show when you pass on? She was raised from the dead. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. Now for number 6, the resurrection of Eutychus. Eutychus is a young man who fell asleep in the church service and fell out the window and was taken up dead. Paul preached a long sermon. I'm sure it was interesting. I can't imagine a message of Paul that wouldn't have much interest. The problem with Eutychus was in the lighting arrangement. There were many lights in the upper place where they met. That's pointed out for our consideration. We know, of course, that Thomas Edison, an American, had not yet been born. The lights were no doubt putting off some kind of smoke or odor, being up on the third floor. The fumes may have proven too much for Eutychus. The church had no air conditioning, so it was a situation that could not be helped. I heard of a woman one time who had insomnia. She tried everything to fall asleep. She took pills and followed the advice of everyone she knew, and nothing worked. Finally, someone came up with a solution. They took her over to the local Church of Christ and set her down on the back pew, and immediately she dropped off to sleep. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. Now for the 7th one, the resurrection of Jesus. And that is different than all the rest. He was the one who was the first fruits from the dead. He was the only one raised up never to die again. When Lazarus was raised up from the dead, men rolled away the stone to let him out. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the angels who were there opened and rolled away the stone, not to let him out, but to let others in. In all things, he must have the preeminence. According to Matthew, there were angels there who would tell the women about the resurrection. John mentions angels also. Luke says there were 2 men in dazzling apparel. But it is Mark who says that there was a young man there in a white robe. It was not an old man. It was not a middle-aged man. It was a young man who was there that announced the glad tidings. This was the story that tells us that someday we will be eternally young in the resurrection state. I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. 'Tis the beautiful home of the soul. Built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. 'Tis the land where we'll never grow old. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the glorious hope given to you because of the resurrection of Christ. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. And now for the 8th one, the resurrection in baptism. The immersion into Christ is a resurrection. Some might say, I didn't know that. Oh, yes, Paul said, we who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Are you ignorant, he said? Know ye not that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We are buried with him, and we are raised to walk in a newness of life. The law says we have to bury a dead person. The scripture teaches us that we are to bury a person who has died to sin. It is also against the law to bury a person who is alive. That's why I want to be embalmed when I die. That way there won't be any doubt that I'm absolutely dead beyond any shadow of doubt. It is even greater mistake to bury in baptism a person who has never died to sin. Many are on the church rolls who never died to sin. They were buried alive. If you went to a funeral and saw a person buried who really had not died, then the next day you saw him walking down the street, not knowing any better, you would think you were seeing a ghost. I have known some church leaders that I thought had died to sin and had been buried, and found out later that they had never died to sin. They were buried alive. And we made elders and deacons out of some of these spiritual ghouls. John said in Revelation, the 20th chapter, that we who have a part in the first resurrection will have no hurt from the second death. Our baptism into Christ is the first resurrection. 10 resurrections of the New Testament. And now for number 9, the two witnesses in Revelation 11. In Revelation chapter 11, there is the account of the two witnesses of God, who after testifying were killed by the beast, and their bodies laid in the streets of that city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. People rejoiced over their death and did not bury them. They sent gifts one to another. Who are these witnesses that were killed? Many guesses have been given. No one can say for sure. The conclusion that I have reached is that these two witnesses would be the church and the Bible. These are two witnesses for God, whether this is what the Apostle John had in mind or not. The reason that their dead bodies were allowed to lie unburied in the street is because the world rejoices over a dead church and over a Bible that is regarded by the masses as a book of fairy tales. There's nothing that pleases the devil any more than to see a church closed on Sunday night, or to see a half-empty church house on Sunday morning. There's nothing that he rejoices any more over than to see a Bible in a home that's never opened and read. He does not mind you having a Bible, he just doesn't want you to read it. After a while, these two witnesses were raised up, and a voice said, "Come hither! Come up hither!" This may be the time of the end of the world, when the church is caught up to heaven, and John says, "And their enemies beheld them go up." The unsaved will see the church as it's caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that brings us to the 10th resurrection, the resurrection at the last day. In the 5th chapter of John, Jesus says that the day will come when all the dead shall hear his voice and shall come forth, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting damnation. Revelation 20 says that the sea will give up the dead that is in it. All the dead are going to be raised. The righteous dead will be changed. We shall see him as he is, and we will be made like him. Nothing is said in the scripture as to what kind of a body the unforgiven resurrectees will have at the resurrection. So therefore, we cannot say anything definite about it. For all I know, they will be raised up in the same old body they had here on earth. A diseased, crippled up, infirmed, whiskey-soaked, drug-riddled, sin-cursed, arthritic, Christ-rejecting sinner body they lived in for 70 years, or more or less. But for the Christian, it will be different. The glorified saint of God will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And what will be the first thing he will say when he is raised up? Will he say, "Look, there's Peter, there's Paul, there's Moses"? Will it be, "Look, there is that sainted mother or that sainted father"? No doubt the first person to be noticed will be none of these. The first person to be noticed will be Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. If someone says, "How can this be done? How can God raise the dead?" We say that God has already done the hard part. The hard part was making man of the dust of the earth in the first place. If the Lord did it once, surely he can do it again. He can take the same dust and reassemble everybody. He hasn't forgotten how he did it. He still has the blueprint. The nursery rhyme says, "Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men can never put Humpty together again." Ladies and gentlemen, it's true that all the king's horses and all the king's men can't do it, but the king's son can. He can and he will put the child of God together again. Loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Shadows and darkness will fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Faces that sorrow I will not see. Voices that murmur will not reach me. But where, oh where, will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Quickly the years of my life have flown, gathering treasures I thought my own. There I must reap from the seed I have sown 5 minutes after I die. Mated for aye with my chosen throng, long is eternity, oh so long. Then woe is me if my soul be wrong 5 minutes after I die.
Thou Father, thou God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an everlasting covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make us perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.